now. And yeah, now we're going to go into our theme song. So I'm just going to share that for you now. And then after that, the next voice you hear is myself for the offering. Sorry, we're not going to the sermon just yet. So yeah, I'm just going to share with you the theme song for this week for Youth Prayer. Okay, good morning. So now is the tithe and offering spot. So this is just a general reminder just for housekeeping that Stoke Newington SDA Church now is accepting bank transfers directly to the church. So you can also transfer to the SEC website through donations, or you can transfer directly to church. And yeah, so basically, if you do choose to use this method, please use tithe for the church offering budget as the reference, so tithe as your reference. And if the amount sent for the tithe and offerings in the local church offerings, you'll also need to send an email to stokeytreasury@hotmail.com, or alternatively, you can message Auntie Donna with a breakdown of the amount. So for example, if you do have different amounts within the amount that you transfer, you can detail that by email to church or to Auntie Donna. For example, if you broke it down for tithe, for church budget, or for the church building, you can do that as well. And the details are listed, as you can see, as they're displayed. And if you've missed this and you need to know the details, I can send them to you, or Auntie Donna can send them to you also. Okay, so now we're going to go into the children's spot, which is a chance where we allow the children just to have their moment and to have their blessing and their word in a way that's most suitable to them. So if you do have any children or young children that are nearby, this is the time where you can get them closer to the screen so they can see. And yeah, I'm just going to share the cartoon for today, and then we're going to break it down and have a prayer. But just before we get into that, I'm just going to pray for any tithes and offerings that were processed this week. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for blessing us. Thank you for guiding us. And thank you for allowing the technology and the resources to be in place to allow us to still facilitate tithe and offerings, to be able to allow the furtherance of your work and your work to be facilitated. So Father, please be with the tithes and offerings collected, whether through SEC or directly through church. Please help this money to be most importantly used for your work and to be used to the best of its ability for your name's honor and glory. We pray for these things in your holy and precious name. Amen. So I'm just going to share the children's cartoon, and then I'll be back to talk with the children.
The Faithful Hall of Fame, Joshua. This is Joshua. Joshua was an Israelite who followed Moses through the wilderness.
One, two, three, here we go.
Joshua learned from Moses as Moses led the Israelites through the Red Sea. And as Moses taught the people about God's law.
Listen up.
One day, Moses was talking to the Israelites. He was reminding them of the law and all that God had done for them.
Now, see here, all you.
When Moses had finished giving instructions to the people, he said, I am no longer able to lead you.
Hold on.
Do not be afraid, for God will neither fail you nor abandon you. Then Moses called Joshua and told him to be strong and courageous, for he would lead the Israelites into the promised land. Then Moses died. To this day, no one knows exactly where he was buried. The people and all of Israel mourn. The people of Israel looked to Joshua to lead them, as Moses had told them.
There he is.
God told Joshua to be strong and courageous, for he would be with Joshua wherever he went. He told him to remember what Moses had told him and to study the book of instruction. God told Joshua that it was time to lead the people of Israel across the Jordan River and into the Promised Land. Joshua told the Israelite officials to go throughout the camp. They instructed everyone to pack up and get ready to head out. Joshua told the Israelites they were going to cross the Jordan River.
See here, this is what we're gonna do, okay?
And so, Joshua prepared to lead his people as the Lord had commanded.
Okay, so good morning to the children. So we've had our children's cartoon today, and our children's cartoon today was about Joshua, and that's what the sermon is going to be about today. And as you know from the scripture reading was Joshua chapter 1 verse 9, and it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So if you think about this story and you think about Joshua and Moses, probably this situation would be like, for example, if one day your parents just gave you the keys and said you're in charge of the house, that you might be quite scared, you might be quite overwhelmed that you have to pay bills, you have to do the washing, you have to do the cooking, you have to do everything. But in this situation, Joshua was not afraid because he was told to be strong and to be brave because God was with him. And whatever anything that you do, God will be with you and God will give you the strength to be able to do what you need to do. And this is just a story to remind you not to be afraid, because I would be afraid if I had to take Moses' position. Because if you saw in a cartoon, Moses wasn't just any leader, he wasn't like your normal pastor or your elder. Moses has a story behind him. Moses led them through the Red Sea. So anyone that can part water and walk through the Red Sea. So for example, it's as if someone had to walk through the River Thames. So if you had to follow after them, it would be very hard, I would say. But I would say this text is a reminder, regardless of how big the task or the challenge at school, or if you're afraid to tell someone about Jesus, this text is a reminder to be strong, to be brave, and go ahead, and God will be with you. And just like the legends in the Bible, such as Samson, David, you can have your own victory too. So this text is a reminder that you can have strength to do these things and not to be afraid. So that is the reminder for you today. And I'm sure Brother Carlton will break this down for the adults in a much bigger and longer version. But that is the message for you today. So I'm just going to pray for the children and for this children's spot. So dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Thank you for blessing us. And thank you for reminding us, children and young people, that God will give us the strength to do whatever we need to do, no matter how big the task or no matter how big the achievements of the person before us. Father, please help us just to go forward and be brave and do the things that you're calling us to do, no matter how small, no matter how young or how little we are. In your holy and precious name, amen. Okay, so now we go to the introduction of the speaker. For Youth Week of Prayer. And the speaker for today and the speaker that has been for this week is Brother Carlton. He has been excellent throughout and he has been a blessing to us all. I can say that and speak on behalf of the church, but I'm sure many other people have been blessed this week. And he's given us so many different dynamics. He gave us a health message. He can give us his personality. He can also break down the word and he can also give us his humble own story. And that's one thing that I would take away is that Brother Carlton is someone that is so humble, someone that is so true, and someone that is not afraid to be vulnerable to bless someone with the word. And yeah, it's just been a blessing working alongside him and WhatsApping him and planning these meetings. And he's just someone that's so easy to work with, someone that is so enthusiastic, and someone that is just so humble and so ready to serve. Because I remember maybe about a month ago, the first call I had with Brother Carlton, as I said before, just his energy, I knew this person was someone that God sent to bless us this week and someone to give us the message. He was just ready. And when I gave him the readings, he was going, "Ooh, I'm ready. And he was pumped and he's maintained that energy throughout the whole week. And it's been just a tremendous blessing. So I'm going to hand over to Brother Carlton and he's going to bless us. And I have your slides ready, Brother Carlton. And yeah, just thank you for your ministry this week. And thank you for just being available to serve, because it's not the usual format. As much as we would want to, we can't fly you here and have you working on the UK time zone. You've been working your jobs and you've been making the time, regardless whether right now you're over to you, Brother Carlton. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Lamar, Sister Amanda, and the church. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm fired up. I'm ready to go. It is Sabbath, and God has brought us through another week. I believe that we have been inspired. I have been inspired this whole week on this. I will go. You know, COVID, this disease has try to stop the ministry of God. You know that, right? Try. You know, the devil thinks he can change God's law, but the devil don't know. He don't know Jesus like he don't know him. Because if he did, he wouldn't even do the things that he done. You know what I'm saying? How can you tempt Jesus when you know that's Jesus? You know that's the Son of God. And you still, your mind is so fixed. You still says, if you just fall down and worship me, he can't change his mindset. He can't change it because he's set in one way. So he thinks if I send a disease that would stop the whole world, the church would not evangelize. Well, we're going to prove that he's a liar, right? Amen? Because we can use technology in the right way to get the message out and to gather, to be together no matter where we're at in the world and still worship Jesus. And today we're talking about strengthen me. How many of us are weak and tired and have no strength? Some of us are so beaten down during the week, mentally and physically. And you see that this world is, it's like, where am I gonna turn? because everything I see, it makes me sad. If I fly back home, there's war over there. The government is corrupt. I gotta have people sit in my house, watch my property while I'm here in the States, because somebody could break in and steal my things. I'm here in the States. I can't fly unless I get a shot. I can't go into a building unless I wear a mask. I can't go into see my family unless I get a test. How has things changed so dramatically for us in this world? We have to have a Joshua experience, because fear is what the devil is using. Because he knows he has but a short time, and he's open. And you know, you run out of time, you got to go, oh, man, I got to do my things quick. But my brothers and sisters, we need strength in these last days. And I'm always going to tell you, we are living in the last days. And you can see the handwritten on the wall. Some of us been to church 50 years, 60 years, and you kept saying, oh, Jesus is coming soon. And young people say, oh, shut up. You've been saying that for the last 50 years. And now you can tell the young people, well, do you see the things that we're seeing now? The Bible said in Matthew chapter 24, are they coming to life now? And they come to you, I'm sorry, you was right. You be kept saying all these, I kept seeing you year after year getting the pulpit, praying for us, saying, young people, give your life to Jesus. Even when I was a baby, now I'm an adult, now I got it. Now I understand what you mean. Jesus is coming soon. So my brothers and sisters, let's get into the word. Father in heaven, we thank you and we praise you for your love once again. It is truly an exciting time for us because you're coming. But one thing about your coming, you're delaying this coming for us to get right. So this probationary time that we have right now, Lord, is for us to build character. And to also to share your love with a dying world. But Lord, some of us, including myself, need strength. I need strength for today. Strengthen us. Strengthen me. It's personal. That's why I said strengthen me. It's an individual thing. So today, may your Holy Spirit bless us and guide us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're going to go through your Bibles a lot this morning. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, looking at verse 12. That was just my phone falling, forgive me. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. And we're going to talk about this text. I know we're familiar with this text. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, what is the Bible saying that? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. The Bible is telling us right now, it's an individual thing. To work out, that means you have to do something. And you know me, I always like to share some nice nuggets with you. So if you are worrying about your weight right now, you're worrying about how I'm going to get in shape because I can't go to the gym, let's look at some ways that you can work out. Let's look at the benefits of exercise. And then we're going to the sermon. You're going to love this. I'm going to share my screen with you right now. If you want to exercise your faith today, let's look at some benefits of exercise. And then I'm going to compare this with Joshua, how he worked out his faith. We just saw the video. Joshua knew that Moses was dead. And someone had to take that place. You know, you see people who was in a church that were giants in the church. They was always praying. They was always there. But they're sleeping right now. Who's going to fill that position? Who's going to take their place? We have the Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. All those giants from men and women and children. God can use young people. So we're saying, what's the benefits of working out? Let's look at some right now, if you don't mind. It says burning calories, muscle fibers contract, release, increase strength, endurance, metabolism enhance, feeling better, having more energy. Lungs work harder to get more oxygen to the body. Optimum heart health. Look at this. It's more. Lungs work harder to the I'm sorry, I gotta move this screen. The video is blocking it. You know me, I have to just move the video. Sorry, guys. All right. Let me go back. Works harder on the oxygen, more oxygen to the body. Heart pumps more rapidly, lowers the blood pressure. Resting the heart reduces muscle tension, heart rate, and certain stress hormones. Lowers LDL cholesterol levels in the body and the blood. Rises HDL cholesterol, strengthens bones, and retains calcium. There's more. It lifts depression. It relieves anxiety and stress. How many of us are stressed out today? Huh? You work it out. We're going to work out this stress today, right? I said, increase overall energy, effective in all our lives, increase enzymes reactions, maintains durability and weight level, improves circulation, nerve stimulation. Come on, somebody. Live a longer, happier life. Somebody say amen to that. Now, we're talking about working out. There's lower risk in injuries. I'm sorry, I wish, somebody see less? I can't see that word. What is that word after less?
Less shock to the joints.
Yeah, thank you, my brother. And it says 1 hour of brisk walk each day. You can read that for me?
Sure. 1 hour of brisk walking each day will reduce weight.
Amen. Hey. And thank you. And it says sanitary lifestyle can develop obesity, but energy output must be more than energy intake. Oh, my brothers and sisters. Now it says this: 1 hour of walking continuously is equivalent to units of insulin. I don't know how many units insulin.
20 units.
Now, just walking. One study report that the benefits of increased glucose usage last several hours after exercise. For my diabetics on the line today, God is telling you to get out and walk. For those who have poor circulation in their legs, God is telling you to work out your salvation, work out your health problems. This is simple. Listen to this. I'm going to bring it all together. You're going to see how Holy Spirit continue to move in Jesus' name. Amen. Judicious walking induces blood, what's that? I can't see it, but can you read that for me, please?
Sure. The highlighted text or the whole thing? Yes.
The highlighted part.
Sure. Brisk yet not violent exercise in the open air with cheerfulness of spirits will promote the circulation, giving a healthful glow to the skin and sending the blood vitalized by the pure air to the extremities. Mm-hmm. Extremities. Yeah.
Thank you, my brother. So now I'm going to show you something. This is what happens in activity. Right. Imagine the church looking like this because of fear of not working out their salvation with fear and trembling. This is a person who doesn't exercise. Now, this is the church the devil wants to injure us in this type of way. Have our movements in such a way that we cannot walk. We have spiritual diseases that are hindering us. But God is going to show us fear cannot work on us, man, brothers and sisters. Fear cannot work on us. A walk even in the winter time is beneficial to the health. Then all the medicine that the doctors may prescribe for those who can walk is preferable than riding. Take a walk. Walk with Jesus. You're going to see right now as I can bring it together, my brother and sister, lung issues. You have lung problems, go out in the wintertime, bundle up, cover the limbs, the muscles and the veins. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I want to get through this. So now you see the benefits of pure air in the wintertime. It helps with the lungs. And you know, COVID-19 attacks the lungs. So we get the optimum working out of our bodies. Listen to this. Exercise aids in the digestive. Take a walk after you have a meal. Take a 15 to 30 minute walk. If you can't go outside, walk in place in your house so the blood could get down to the stomach, my brothers and sisters. It says a sanitary lifestyle. If you have a sanitary lifestyle, you sit at the desk. Most of us are sitting home now and we eat a big meal and that meal sits in our stomachs because we're not moving. So how can we exercise anything? Yes. When we are sitting in a sedentary life, are we not strengthening by God? Because we are allowing the food to make us sleepy and put its weight upon us, and that leads to diseases. My brothers and sisters, if you have a desk job, walk around. Get out that seat. Have 2 meals a day of exercise. Listen to this. Encourage the patient. Now, those who have sick ones in their homes, take the patient outside. Get them some fresh air. Don't have them sit in the home all the time. Get them out there, exercise them. If they can, and in the wheelchair, let them have that fresh air. You will see what the Lord will do. See, if you can exercise and carry on, you can exercise and talk at the same time, your heart rate target is blessed. Amen. Too many of us are sitting down today on the work of God. And God is strengthening us like he's going to do right now to Joshua. He is going to strengthen him. And let's go on to this. Early, the best time to do it, early in the morning. Work first thing in the morning, and will help you with your fat intake. Walking late in the day burns 50%. What's that, saturated fat, I think? Is that saturated fat?
It was just normal fat, so just 50%
Thank
fat.
You. Okay, amen. So what's I just want to say, more exercise, freeze, open air, flowers, vegetables. And you know, people from the country, from the South, you know, and from the Caribbean, you remember those days when you got out in the morning time and you took that walk? You remember that? And you always say, back home when I did this, back home. Well, bring that back home attitude back into your life now where you're at in London. How about that? Stop. Say, you know, the young people say, you always say back home. So show us what you did back home. How about that? If you did garden, have garden classes. If you did sewing, show us how to sew. I don't have to keep buying my suits all the time. You can make me a suit. How about that? You want to take me back home? Do it. Show me back home attitude, and I can walk with you. Now, the best form of exercise, we see, it helps the bodies. It helps every part of the organs. Because I want to go straight into the message now. I just want to show the students something. See, strengthen. We're talking about strength. I'm not talking about fear, because that's what the devil wants to work on. I'm talking about encouraging you how to have ultimate health, exercising your faith, exercising your body. Look what it does to the body. Now, 30 minutes of walking 30 minutes a day reduces the heart, reduces heart disease 18%. Regular physical activity for men reduces, that's heart disease, right? Women who walk more than 1 hour per day a week reduce heart disease by 50%. My sisters, come on, somebody talk to me out there. You get out and move. You get out and move and see what the Lord does for you. Now look at those who run and those who, I'm not telling you to stop running if you run, but look at the benefits of walking compared to running. Come on, somebody talk to me. Look at that. Now they see you, everybody's passing you by. I think you're that slow turtle. No, you're not. You know the benefits. You know that I'm just taking a stride, but you're moving those arms. You're moving that back. You say, yes. And look what happened. My cholesterol is lowering. My blood pressure is lowering. My diabetes is gone. My cardiovascular is getting stronger because I'm taking a walk with Jesus today. And we're going to see how Joshua did this. And look at prostate cancer. Come on, my brothers. Come on. Come on. You know what's going on down there. You see the difference in your lifestyle. You take a regular walk and this is for cancer patients, for colon cancer. God has a remedy for all of us. And we're going to go to the devotion right now. My brother and sister, we see that colon cancer. And this is from my students. Movement, your body moves the bowels. That's bowel movement. If you're not eating, every time you should have a meal, you should have a bowel movement. Many of us parents know that on this line. If you're having problems with that, this reduces the risk of colon cancer. Exercising. We're talking about strength today. I want to strengthen you in every way I can. I told you, you know me. For those who have breast cancer, or you know someone who has breast cancer, learn this remedy, these lifestyle habits, and you can share with your neighbors as you do it yourself. Breast cancer reduces 37% when you exercise. If they are regularly affected already, listen to this, walking between 6 to 8 hours a week, early death is decreased by 50% if you have it already. I don't know why this church is not jumping off the line right now, but that's okay. I know this is shocking for you. And if you do have it, and you're not telling anyone, God knows what you're going through. It's also reduced cancer of the stomach, the ovaries, the vagina, and the clitoris. My mother had ovarian cancer, and I see what that does. Ladies, please check yourself out if you know what's going on. If you want to know about more stuff, you tell Brother Lamar, please, in the afternoon, I can go through more stuff if you need help. It says improves blood flow to the brain. Serotonin and dopamine. Dopamine is the power that comes in, my brothers and sisters. It affects the mood and the well-being. That's why Joshua trusted in Jesus. That's why Joshua trusts in the word of God. Oh, let's go right here, my brother and sister. This is for the, I'm going to close with this. Not close on the sermon, but close on the health part for you. Students. Brother Lamar, can you read that for us, please?
Sure. The exercise of the brain in study without corresponding physical exercise has a tendency to attract the blood to the brain, and the circulation of the blood for the system becomes unbalanced. The brain has too much blood and the extremities too little.
My brother and sister, my students, it's good to learn, get those PhDs, those EATs, or MEOTs, all those AATs after your name. You know, when you introduce a speaker, you got to bring a traveling case. They got so many degrees, right? I got a degree in animal care. I got a degree in sweeping. We don't know what they got the degree in, but we just say PhD. My brothers and sisters, God is saying, you sit down and do all that. That's not working the brain. That's not working the body. You have a smart body, but you have a dead body. I mean, a smart mind, but a dead body. And you wonder why young people are dying today. He graduated from Cornell. He's a doctor. What happened? Inactivity. Not moving. How you gain so much weight? I've been at home in the covert not working out. Well, today Joshua is going to show you. Thank you, my brother and sister, listen for the health message. Now I'm going to show you what the word of God is going to say. I'm going to exit the screen here. I hope that was good information for you. You know, in the story of Joshua in 1:9, he says, be of good courage. Somebody talk to me. Be of good courage. I'm strengthening you, right? In the Bible, I'm going to read from what we have here. In the Bible, the word mentioned, do not fear, is mentioned 365 days. I'm times. I'm saying 365 days, because I'm going to say, that's for me and you not to fear every day. Every day we can take that promises from the Lord Jesus Christ. And and 200 times the word fear and trembling appears in the Bible. You know, when you have fear to go out and to witness or to tell somebody something, that nervousness is nothing like you experience it. Just giving somebody to say hello to someone, we are scared. Our body shuts down. But when we want to sin, we get proud and bold up to do it. But when it's doing something that's good, it is hard for us to do. You know, the Old Testament presents a story of a man named Joshua who was recognized by leaders in Israel. That this man described by respect of the Christian author. He was a warrior. He was courageous. And that's what we need to be, my brothers and sisters. Joshua was a man of God. And Joshua is just like Jesus. Amen. You know, when he says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 2-4, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, we and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give thee to the Israelites. I will, I will give you every place where you set your foot. I promise Moses, your territory will extend from the deserts of Libyan and from the great river of Euphrates and all the Hittite country in the Mediterranean Sea in the west. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2-4. So God is telling you, put your foot on your promises today, young people. If you want victory over something, put your foot on it. Claim it. You got to claim these promises. And most of us, even myself, we don't claim the promises of God. And we know the power of God. When God said, let there be light, that light is still there. He said, let us make man in our image. We're still here. Let us make the animals. You go all over the place in the zoos and everywhere you do. Even bugs we have in our home. God made those. And yet we still have doubt on Jesus. And I do too. I'm not pointing a finger at you. I'm pointing a finger at me. First thing we must place that Moses, someone, as my brother said, that somebody died. And somebody had to take the place. Elders in the church who's been there for a long time talking to you. Talking to the deacons who've been there for a long time. I'm not telling you to sit down. Take these young people and train them. How about that? How about taking a young person under your wings and training them in the work of the Lord? If they don't want to do that, be by their side. Because one day you may die. And we need somebody to take these people's place in the church. So why not start training them now? Parents, train your children in the ways of the Lord the best way you know how to, on your knees, witnessing and reading the word of God. That's the three aspects of the sanctuary message. Let your light so shine. That's the candlestick. The bread is the word of God, and the incense are the prayers. was when Jesus moved to the holy place where he's at right now, he's praying for you and me. And our names are coming up before him. And we got to put our hands up and say, Lord, my name come up. Please have mercy. Have mercy upon me. The second challenge Joshua faced was crossing the Jordan. The Jordan River was the most important river in Palestine. You know, at that time, the Jordan River was overflowed with water. Now, here's Joshua have to cross those waters. My brother says, sometimes in life, we're going to have to cross these waters. And these waters are going to overflow our life. There's problems with financial problems. How am I going to pay this tuition? I don't know where the money's coming from. How I'm going to move when I have no place there? God is telling me to move, but where? We got to have that faith like Abraham. God is telling me to move outside of London, outside the UK, to go to a different place. But I'm afraid to go. That's all I know is here in the UK. That's all I know is here right now. But God is telling me and you to move. Don't stand still. Exercise your faith in me. Fear not, for I be with you. It is impossible to cross that river. But God is saying to you and me, I have given you the promises that I'm going to open up. Oh, my God. I'm going to open up a way for you to go. We're not claiming that promises. And I'm not either. But God says, I'm claiming that promise for you. Cross the river of your problems today. It says Joshua was afraid. That same fear, that single mother who has to raise her child, all feels alone. For those who are single mothers, you know how that is. That's tough. You know that the man is not there and you got to do both roles, and the fear of that comes up on you. And sometimes we take people in our lives and bring them to our homes. I need a man to raise my child. No, you don't. If the Lord's not sending him, you don't need that man. You need Jesus to send you that man. We can't start picking people to be in our lives just because we're fearful. I don't want to be an old lady. I don't want to be a single man. Listen to me. Don't let the devil lie to you on that. And many of us are making mistakes today by doing that. And you know who I'm talking to. You know who I'm talking to today. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm trying to tell you today, don't let fear run your feelings on being alone. Because you're never alone. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Just because Jesus is not tangible. We can't touch him. We can't feel him. We think he's not there. Oh, my brother and sister, the breath that you breathe tells me he's there. That moon, that stars, the universe, everything spins around is because he is still there in your life. And how dare we doubt him? Now, if you don't know him, that's different. But those who have claimed the promises and you know he's worked out something in your life, and we still have that doubt. But thank God, Jesus is like a loving father. Like Adam and Eve sinned, that fear came upon them. They ran away. What did he do? Did he not chase them? No, he didn't. He came after them. He found them in the garden and asked them questions. And he's going to ask you a question, my daughter. Why are you drinking? I have problems. I'm afraid. I can't. I'm stressed out. I don't know where this world's going. Give me your hand. My son, why are you smoking marijuana? I need to think. I need to clear my mind. I got exams coming. I got big things I got to do. And the only way I can think is smoking marijuana. My son, give me your hand. Parents, why are you stressed out? Why are you so angry all the time? Because I feel I'm a useless dad and a useless mother. My children are not in the church. I've been praying them for a long time. My husband is leaving me. My wife is angry at me. My son, my daughter, give me your hand. Give me those problems. I can bring your marriage back together if you just trust me. Give me your hands right now. Church, pastor, why are you not preaching the truth? Why are you following the Sunday movements? Why are you looking at the world and bringing that into the church? Oh, I'm afraid because everybody else is doing it. Everybody's having these big concerts and I want that, pastor. Give me your hand. Let me guide you. I've given you a message to live and to bring, not because of theatrics, not to bring in puppets and clowns, not to do all these things to win souls. I bring in you my life. Into the church, love into the church, witnessing the power of transformation. I'm strengthening you. Give me your hand. Let me sit down and read the word of God all over again. You have to be born again. Joshua realized that, my brothers and sisters. The third thing Joshua realized. My brothers and sisters, I'm so roused up with love right now. I'm going to just tell you right now. Joshua, be not afraid. Three guarantees. He overcame the fear of failure. And that's what we have to do. We have to overcome the fear of failure, my brothers and sisters. The guarantee, I have already conquered the land for you. I already gave you the promises. I already gave you that job. I gave you that new home. I gave you a new life. I have taken away all those problems that you have. I'm guaranteeing you. That's a guarantee. You know, we've signed these warranties on these cars, and we say, it's a guarantee, and we believe it. And we drive the car off the lot. But my brothers and sisters, when it comes to the word of God, we question, is God really with me? Is God going to really help me through? Yes. You know he has already. How many of us claim the promise of God and you saw miracles happening? You could just raise your hand. You saw God did something in your life and you claimed that promises and you saw him work and it came through. That's the first thing. The second thing, God gave him the certainty of his presence. And I'm telling you today, if church is open and we're doing the same thing we've been doing when church is, when it's open a year ago, something is wrong. Because we don't value the presence of God in this church. We talk in the church. We use our cell phones in church. Not for just men. I'm talking about for you. For ministry is different. But we have conversations. We have pick our phone and it rings. We answer it right there in front of everybody. But you try to do that in the courthouse and see what they do to you there. They will kick you out. We treat God's presence like it's nothing. And we run around that sanctuary like it's a joke. And we sit in there and talk and gossip and do all these things. But Joshua realized the presence of God is there. When God was Moses, what did Moses do? Take off your shoes. Because you're in holy ground. But we in school, we sit up there of attention like this. Because you know why? It's the benefits of getting a job and getting the money. When we in church, we don't see no benefits. We don't see the benefits of the Holy Spirit working in our hearts. And we treat God like dirt. My brothers and sisters, please change that mindset. I'm not trying to tell you can't have conversation in the church, but you can't trample over his sanctuary. You can't trample over his house. Because if he comes to your house, what Jesus is going to do, he's going to sit there quietly and bring love into your house. And that's what we're supposed to do. Because remember, the blessing is not coming from the sermon. The blessing is coming from you. You're the blessing. You're just receiving extra blessings while you go there. The Sabbath is a blessed day. So when you come, you are expecting you a blessing and to expect one. So you should be already fired up. That's the presence of the Lord. And thirdly, Joshua, listen to this. Joshua is a man of God, my brothers and sisters. It said Joshua was able to overcome the fears. He had to accept and believe the mandate, obey the living word of God. Only the word of God would give him enough strength to defeat the fear. And that's the word of God, my brother and sister. Joshua trusted in the word. This word has brought this church up, the Seventh-day Adventist movement. And many of you are Seventh-day Adventists because you believed in something. You came from a Catholic, Anglican, or any type of Pentecostal Baptist background. And you realize this truth has something that they don't have. Not saying God don't love them. Yes, he does. He says, I have other folds who are not in this movement. Other sheep, them I must bring in. John chapter 10, verse 16. So he said in John, in Revelation chapter 18, verse 2 to 4, he says, I come out of them, my people. So God has called us into this movement, into this church. And he really called us into his love, to be honest. That's all it is. He called us into his love. And he said, I need a people who will live differently, who will walk differently, who will talk differently, and who will sing differently, who will do things so different from the world that they will attract them to me. And that's the most beautiful thing in this world. You know, when a model walks down the runway, a supermodel, when they, man or woman, they walk down the runway, they have no fear. The only fear they may have is that heel breaks and they break the ankle. But if that thing goes right, they're confident. They walk straight. And the clothes look different from any of the fashions that we see. And what we see, we attracted to that. So, ooh, I want to buy that. I'm going to get that. I like the way that model looks in that outfit. So why not you and me walk down the street with our heads held up, not in a prideful way, but in a humble way, and say, that person is different. Look at the way they walk. When Queen Sheba came to see Solomon, what did she say? She didn't say, man, this everything that this man told me, and I didn't believe it till I have to see it from my own eyes. It took away her breath. She said, I was breathless on what I saw and what I heard from him, the way his table was set, the way his servants were. When they come to your house, they're supposed to see difference. You want to be strengthened? That's what Joshua, we're coming to a close. It said, the first thing, accept the authority. We must remember that the Bible, the supreme author of truth, the prophet Isaiah expresses it well. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. If we are hearing things that are contrary to what we know about God, I'm sorry, my brother, but I don't hear that in the Bible. I don't hear it. I love you, but it don't say that in the Bible. It's people going to come to you and try to get you off your track because we think, oh, we have the truth and they have the spirit. And we want to go on to the Sunday churches and get their spirit. Well, the Bible tells me that's Babylon. And we have the mission to call those people out of Babylon. And my friends who go to Sunday churches, I would go to their church, but not to join it. You know what I'm saying? They invite me, I would go. But let me tell you something. I would not discredit them. I would not go in there and be a wreck or try to, hey, you don't know the Thrones message. I would show love. I got to be attractive enough so they can say, man, you know what? You came to our church. We know you're a Seventh-day Adventist, but you was acting so nice and calm. Can I go to your church next week? Somebody say amen. You see the attractiveness of this? That's the difference. So we got to realize to the Lord, to internalize your teachings. It is not enough just to accept the authority of the scriptures. It is necessary to assimilate their teaching. You can internalize this. When you have to take all these exams, my brothers and sisters, you know, you have to get in these books. You have to become the book, to be honest, right? You have to get in that professor's head. You have to study and study and study. Say, I got it now. I got it. And you present that paper to him by email, by you now, because now we have Zoom. So now you got to email it to him. And he's going, you think just like me. You got that grade. You internalized. How did you know the formula to that? Well, the Bible. Show me how to internalize the word of God, and I internalized that same spirit into my exams. And when I did that, I compared the Bible and I did that math exam. I did my study and it came out. Joshua said, be of good courage. And that's how I came up. So the Bible is strengthening you to help you get this grade of 100 and you pass like this. And now you're going to your PhD. Yes, professor. Because I internalize it. Thirdly, he applied the principles. It's completely useless to accept the authority of the scriptures, internalize their teaching, if we are not willing to apply the principle. Love is a principle. And I always like to bring my lifestyle into it. I did not know what love was when I got married. Because I told you, I wanted to run around the world being a medical missionary. And I want to drag my family to the jungles. I want to drag my family to different countries. But I wasn't thinking. I was thinking with a selfish heart. And when I did that, my brother and sister, I broke my wife down slowly. From that beautiful woman when I saw her the first day, she became angry. She gained weight. Because every day I was so angry. Why are you not doing what I want you to do? You're supposed to do what I'm the man of the house. I'm the high priest. Yeah, I'm no high priest. I was a terrorist in my own home because I said, I want you to do what I want. And I realized the principle of love. And that principle of love changes the heart, my brothers and sisters. And when you allow the Holy Spirit to change that heart, the principles of Jesus comes in and you realize, that's my wife. And I love her. And I want the best for her. Lord, forgive me for what I have done to my family by taking over your role as the head of the house. You're supposed to lead my house, and I'm supposed to follow you as the head. And my brothers and sisters, Joshua is telling me and you is this. Brother, can you go to those slides as we close? Here we go. Thank you for listening. As we close, my brothers and sisters, these are examples for you to follow in the last days of Earth's history. God is going to bring us all together. You know, none of us should be lost. We should all meet by the tree of life. We're going to have a good time. So here we go. It says, strengthen you, right? I want to strengthen you. I want to strengthen you. It says fear factor. Remember that show back in the days? There's a fear factor. The devil wants to have us fighting. Remember this. He knows if I get them fighting with each other, I got them. And let me tell you something. That's a fear factor. And also we see here, you have to learn. Things are going to come to your life and you're going to go through challenges. You will say, why is all these things happening to you? Well, you have to climb and face those fears and come over them. The devil's going to send many obstacles in our lives. These people are not afraid to put beads on their faces and to play with snakes. Now, we are afraid to live for Jesus. Go to the next one, Elder. There's a fear factor. Now, the four major, I love it. Brother, can you read that? Because I can't read the four majors.
Yes. Yeah, sure. The four major specific phobia categories.
Look at
this. Do you want to read all of them?
No, because of time, they can see it, right? Because I want to understand. They got to come back. So you see the fear factors. Which one are you a favorite? And natural environment, medication treatments, animals. I don't see the third. What's that fourth one there, Elder, on the bottom?
Situations.
Situations. Which one is fearing us? Go to the next one, Elder. Thank you so much. Now this is your fear factor in regard. Is this what it is? Public speaking, heights, social situations, enclosed spaces, animals, crowds, needles, flying. This is in your country. I don't know which one has gotten you, but you know what it is. But God is saying to me and you, I'm going to strengthen you in your fears. Go to the next one, Elder. Mm-hmm. God is going to strengthen us today as he did Joshua. Elder, can you read that for me, please?
Sure. Psalms chapter 73, verse 26. My flesh and heart may fail, but God is my strength of my heart and my portion forever.
Come on. Your flesh is going to fail you all the time, but I love the butt. You know, everybody in the gym, when they work out on their gluteus maximum, they want a butt. I don't like that butt. I like this butt. When I see this butt, I get excited. You know what I'm saying? All these guys are chasing these women for that type of look. I'm chasing this butt in the Bible. When I see this, that stops me and go, but God is strengthening. Come on, somebody talk to me. Go to the next one, Elder. Go on to the next one. Oh, somebody talk to me. Somebody talk to me. Over 2 million people this man had to walk. 2 million people with different attitudes and different backgrounds and all the strife that he had to listen, all the complaining. He saw what Moses had to go through. But he says, I'm willing to take the challenge because God is going to strengthen me. I trust in his word. I believe we can take Jericho. The Jericho walls are around us, my brothers and sisters. But do you see? You got to be patient. You got to walk around 7 times. Walk around, say, don't say a word. Some of us need to be quiet and listen and then move. Be quiet, listen, and move. Be quiet, listen, and move. 7 times. Then on the 7th day, he did it 7 times in 1 day. And all they do, what they had to do is what? Shout. My brothers and sisters, we have lost the joy of salvation. And we're not shouting. I'm not talking about maniac shouting or out of control, but shouting that God is moving in my life. I'm excited. Thank you, Jesus. You have done something for me. And I'm going to allow the devil to know those Jericho walls you got built around me are coming down today. Elder, go to the next one, please. Oh, man. Those walls are coming down today. Elder, can you read that, please? And we're coming to a close. Thank you, everyone, for listening to the word of God.
Christ is our example in all things. In the providence of God, his early life was passed in Nazareth, where the inhabitants were of that character that he was, continually exposed to temptations. And it was necessary for him to be guarded in order to remain pure and spotless amid so much sin and wickedness. Christ did not select this place himself. His heavenly Father chose this place for him, where his character would be tested and tried in a variety of ways. The early life of Christ was subjected to severe trials, hardships, and conflicts, that he might develop the perfect character, which makes him a perfect example for children, youth, and manhood.
So you took my Jesus, don't understand me? No, he do understand you. He was placed in that, and God put him there. His Father put him in the worst neighborhood that you could possibly live in. But Jesus walked a certain walk. He said, I chose not to sin. I chose not to do what the people are doing in my community because I want to be a light to them. You can't win them by joining them what they're doing. Now, you can win them by joining them to win souls, but not doing what they're doing. You got to be strong for that. You got to have courage like Joshua. But if you're not ready for that, take time out and say, Lord, give me courage. Elder, what's the next one? I think the song is next. Is the song next? Elder, read that with power, please.
Yeah. So the thing's blocking. Let me just minimize. Jesus does not just give me strength. He is my strength.
How many of us believe that? You can raise your hand in the chat. How many of us believe that? Or if you don't believe it, are you willing to claim those promises today? You can say, yes, Lord, you are my strength. Oh, do we have the song ready, or that's the last one? And we're closing with this song. Oh, last one.
The text and then this song.
Yeah, brother. You can read that song, please.
Sure. Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go.
Oh, my brothers and sisters, please claim that promise. I'm with you. Elder, play that song as we close, and I'll make an appeal.
Placed a dream within your heart, and if you make a start, he wants for you to know. All of your needs he will supply, he's always standing by. He's there to see you through. So keep on climbing until you reach your goal. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible. With God, so don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your dreams. And when the road ahead seems long, there to show the way. With every step you know what's right, you'll conquer in his mind. He'll bring that brighter day. You just keep on climbing. Just keep on striving. Just keep on striving with all your heart and soul. All things are possible with God, so don't give in. He'll move your mountains. He'll move your mountains. He'll move your mountains. He believes in your
Amen. I pray that this message has stirred you into thinking that, you know what? I am afraid. I have fears. I thought I was a man. I thought I was a woman of God. I thought I was a child of God. I'm just a church member. I just go to church and I do the rituals. I read my Bible, come home, pray, go to sleep, wake back up. But I really don't have a connection with Jesus. But the song says, climb. Climb. That means he's up there. He's going to hold his hand down and come and get you. So today, my appeal is to you and to me. Because we're all in this together. We're all in this together. Not one of us are not outside of God's love. And we see that with Joshua. He's telling me and you today, I can strengthen you. I can help you. I know what you've been through, but you gotta believe in me. Is that your desire for this morning? You could raise your hand in the chat. You can just wave your hand and we'll close out with prayer. Amen. Loving Father in heaven, we thank you so much. All these stories in the Bible that you have given us of men and women and children who have given their lives for your cause of truth, to live a holy life, to be different. Well, naturally, our tendencies are always to do wrong because we have this fallen nature. But we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on your strength and your courage and your overcoming power. Each story here from the UK at this time are your children, which are my brothers and sisters. And Lord, we all have the same problem of sin. It may vary in different ways we exercise it, but it's a problem in our lives that hinder us day after day. There's a controversy going inside our minds and our bodies every time you allow us to wake up. So we submit ourselves to you on your holy Sabbath day. Lord, I lift up the families at this time, husband and wife at this time. I ask you to put your hands upon their heads and that they could be parents of a godly nature. Any strife among them, Lord, may they put it aside and leave it there and come together. You can work out any situation. And for the children, Lord, I ask you to be with them, that their lives would be in your hands, that they would give you their minds, their hobbies, their sadness, their mistakes, and let them trust you. And for those who are older on the line, who's been walking with you for a long time, who may be weary in this walk, Lord, Lord, strengthen them at this time, that they can rely upon your promises all these years. They've been reading, but they're saying, where is he? I'm getting sick. I'm getting old. But Lord, as they're getting old, let them know that your love is still growing and growing in their lives. For the leadership of this church, for the pastors, the elders, the deacons, and everyone who takes part in this ministry, Lord, anoint the pastor from his head to his toes with his wife and his family, that he will stand up and be courage every day and love to proclaim your message and claim that area where Stoke Newington Seventh-day Adventist Church is located at, that that church would be a lighthouse for that community. Lord, it's time on Zoom or when it opens back up, wherever they go, bless your children in a mighty way. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the sick amongst them, ask you to heal them, for any brokenness among the young people who are struggling to find identity, to struggle to find ways on ways to even make a living. Maybe some of them doing things that only you know about. Lord, may they sit down and say, Lord, I don't want to do this. I would find a regular job and make an honest living. I would save my body. I would not put things into it. I would not engage in any type of activities that would lead me astray, but strengthen me for that day, Lord. Day after day, strengthen me. Lord, we thank you. We praise you for what you're going to do for the Stoke Newington Seventh-day Adventist Church today and those who are visiting on the line. In Jesus' name I pray. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Thank you for blessing us this afternoon, Brother Carlton, and thank you for your message and just a timely reminder about strength and the fears that we face and how it can block us in so many different ways to live the life that God has asked us to live. So yeah, just thank you so much. I'm not going to steal everyone's time because we return again at 5:00.